Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining us here for another episode here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Now, today's topic, we're going to be talking about repentance. And as we're talking about repentance, it's not that we want people to be calling in on the show and telling us your deep, dark secrets, even though they say that you are only as dark as your darkest secret. But the thing is, when we talk about repentance is one of those words that we hear a lot, but many individuals, whether we are believers or non-believers, many of us, we become very this is one of those words that's hard for us to either comprehend. So before we get started, I want to thank my Heavenly Father for blessing me. I'm also grateful for traveling grace. And I see the people are calling in on the line, so let's get started. Okay, good morning, Mr. Blackwell. Are you on?
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm well. I don't know why I keep putting you back on mute. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, for some reason,
yes.
This computer thing is just like messing me up. Okay, so I want to start by saying, as believers, it appears that many individuals struggle with understanding the true meaning of repentance. I've heard it be said that God is a forgiving God. However, could it be that, like man, God also wants to see a commitment to change for the better, so that one does not repeat what they have done? So, Pastor Blackwell, we're going to be talking about this a little bit. I also want to, let me log on the other caller that's calling in. I don't know what's going on with my switchboard, but long as you're on, so at least you're not on mute, so that's a good thing. Okay, I want to say good morning. Is this Mr. Johnson? Hello? Okay, the other person is not seeing anything. Okay, but that's Pastor Blackwell. Tell the individuals who you are, and we're going to get
started. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. So we're going to have Pastor Blackwell introduce himself, and then we'll have you introduce yourself. Okay, Blackwell?
Delano Blackwell, former pastor over 15 years of the Mount Salem Bible Church. I've studied many times. This topic today, Jeanette, is a very serious topic.
Mm-hmm.
Because for the believer, this is what we believe, and this is something that has came into our life. We're talking about repentance. I guess the first question would be, what is repentance? Repentance is basically to make a statement to turn and go back a different way. It means to make a change, basically. And I'm just giving it to you the formal way, informal way. Mm-hmm. It's really to make a change, to make a turn, to go back a different way. It has the idea of turning your life all the way around. If you've been going left, stop going left and start going right. If you've been going right, stop going right and start going left. And if all it really means is to make a change. And, you know, sometimes we can always talk about spiritual repentance. We can talk about where, you know, you want some repentance for what you did in life, not only towards God, but some of the things you did to your family members and friends, what you've been doing, where you want to repent and change your way of life.
Uh-huh.
And I've been noticing some of the major problems, and I want to hear Tony, some of the major problems with us and we don't repent is because of the guilt. It's so heavy in our life. Guilt keeps us from changing.
Uh-huh. Wow. And you know what, Pastor Blackwell, and that is powerful. Tony haven't called in yet. I haven't heard from Tony. But we have another pastor on the air. We have Pastor Michael Johnson. Tell the listeners who you are.
Yeah, I'm Grandpa Johnson. I'm an associate.
pastor at a Greater True Friendship Missionary Baptist Church in Los Angeles. Actually, I used to work for Jeanette as drug and alcohol counselor, among other things. I retired from counseling in 2004 after 39 years of counseling. And I've also been ministering since 1987, I believe. And so what the pastor just said is dead on. Hit the hammer right on the nail about repentance. And one of the things I wanted to add on, matter of fact, Jeanette, that's what me and you were talking about this morning when I asked the question, what is the difference between guilt and shame? And the way I like to explain it, guilt is immediate after you have transgressed. And shame is historical, but shame kind of tags along with you like a ball and chain. And the other thing, repentance. Huh?
That's right.
Oh, okay, sir. And then the other thing, with repentance, first thing we have to do is we have to confess.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that we were wrong and God is right. And then the other thing that the Bible talks about is iniquity, and iniquity in my land is living a lifestyle of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things about repentance and why we have a hard time accepting the gift is because we're not agreeing with what God says about us because we have so much baggage. One of the things, because I talked with you earlier, Jeanette, one of the things I was looking at, Psalms 103, verse 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has been removed our transgressions from us. And then 1 John 1, 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just enough to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us. I like that part. From all unrighteousness. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, what were you going to say? I'm going to let you finish. What were you going to say?
No, one of the things that I'm a word person, so to me, I'm not the brightest bulb in the room. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. So I have to keep reading and get an understanding. And one of the things I come to understand is when you are righteous, that means you're in right standing with God. So it talks about if it's cleaning us from all unrighteousness, that's put us back in right standing with him. Isn't it?
Well, one of the things I wanted to say is, as you were saying that, a lot of times, and the two of you are making it sound so easy. You know, if I just repent, if I just say, Lord, forgive me. And part of that, and if we miss a lot of it because when we're reviewing our actions, our feelings, or the regret for our past wrongs, we have to make a commitment to change for the better. A lot of times we'll say, take it to the altar, or, you know, Lord, deliver them, or Lord, bless them. So we say that, and part of that, Blackwell, and I heard you say about changing change in directions, but a lot of pastors preach on repentance, but do you think the congregation really understands what that means?
Well, I believe they do, but on the other, but in everything in life, it has to be taught.
Mm-hmm.
You can't preach on it today and think your church got it tomorrow. It has to be a series. I learned hard issues in the church have to be preached on through a series. You can't preach on it today and then let it go for the next month. You got to take your time and preach the series and teach the whole book. So that means just like the scriptures he was preaching, he was talking about. 1 John 1 and 9, I would do a series here, and this is what I would do. The first thing I would talk about, if I'm going to talk about, well, we're going to talk about repentance. The first thing is I'm going to talk about repentance for the whole month in my church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take that subject. I'm going to talk about it the whole month to make sure we clearly get the picture on what the Bible has to say about repentance.
First thing I would pull out is, where's the first time you hear about repentance at in the New Testament? The first person you hear preaching the New Testament, hear about repentance in the New Testament, is John the Baptist.
That's right.
We don't. We never hear John the Baptist as preach for all of those years. He only had one sermon: repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. So you talk about what that meant. Then you move on to a scripture where the meat is. Maybe go over to 1 John 1 and 9. And you pull that scripture up and you talk about it. The need. Now watch this. Watch this. The need to repent. What's the need? You need to repent to be clean. You need to repent so you can be regenerated. And you take the time to structure your messages towards repentance. And when you do that, you're leaving no stone unturned. And then the people grasp. Now, why am I saying it like this? Because everybody ain't going to grasp the same thing. But somebody might grasp 1 John 1 and 9. Somebody might grasp John 3:16. But the idea is they got it.
Yeah,
and I've learned over the years, you got to put it out, but you got to put it out in a way they can get it. Now they're not gonna all get it at the same level, but they're gonna get it. So when you talk about repentance, you want to structure it, and that's why I told you, you want to make it broad, but you in your series you narrow it down. You shrink it for them.
That is true. And, you know, and when you say shrink it, sometimes we got to give people a little bit at a time. Because if we give them too much, they can't handle it. And they get lost in the word. And sometimes we talk about repenting. We want to go back and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I won't do it no more. It's like talking to your parents or talking to your friend, and all you want them to do is just leave you alone. Just don't bring it up no more. And sometimes we don't even know how to even go about letting some stuff go. You know, I heard a thing with Michael was talking about that baggage. A lot of times our wrongdoing, the hurt that we've done, the hurt that we've even done to ourselves, we carry that because it's hard for us to give it to God, because sometimes it's our protection and we beat ourselves up and not even realize it. So I like what you're saying in regards to teaching people how to repent. Because sometimes a lot of I know a lot of people struggle with that.
Can I add something on that?
Yes, you may.
Hello? Oh, okay. One of the things I'd also like to add on is that we have to understand that we are in a war with our flesh. And what the way I like to put it is, our body operates on the pleasure principle. Whatever feels good, that's what the body wants to do, whether it's food, sex, drugs, or whatever. And we all have to remember what the Apostle Paul said every day. He had to hold his body under every day. You know, me and my pastor was talking about the other day. Every day I wake up, I got to fight against my flesh. To keep from even getting to that point, you know?
And you know, and that is awesome. And not only fighting against that flesh, sometimes when we talk about that flesh, and just even as we go into the different types of sins, it's like, what did we do? It could be something we've said. It could be something we've done. It could be a lot of different things, a lot of different reasons why we have to repent. Because repentance leads to salvation. And a lot of times we start talking about salvation and being delivered for something by saying, I repent, God forgave me. You know, I was telling the person today, sometimes what other people think of you is none of your business. Once you've let it go and God let it go, why you gonna worry about what somebody else think or say about you? And a lot of times we give people way too much power over our lives, but yet we struggle with turning our life over to God.
You know what? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. You can say what you were going to say?
No, when you said that, you made me think about how I grew up in my childhood. And I think I've shared this with you before, but I had a stepfather. He was the definition of a domestic terrorist. And I got treated very bad. And I carried around this hatred. I carried around all of this all of my life until I was up into my 30s. And, and the Lord came to me one night and told me I had to. And I had unforgiveness, so that was a sin. And the Lord told me I had to forgive him. Well, he had been long dead, and the Lord told me I still had to forgive him. And what I came to understand is his name was Melvin. And every time I heard that name, my stomach would get turned into knots, and my blood pressure would go up. And I got comfortable carrying around that anger. And I didn't realize I had it until I confessed it, until I repented, and God took it away. And I'm like, wow. I didn't even know I was carrying that. So sin will get you in a position where you get comfortable living with it, you know? And it takes the light of God's word to shine on that situation where you could see it.
Right. And even when we repent and we make that confession, and that confession might include an admission of guilt or something that we've done, a promise or an intent not to repeat, and I'm going to say it again, repeat the offense, an attempt to make restitution for the wrong, or in some way reverse the harmful effects of the possibility of when we were wrong. Now, even though we start talking about that, that's also very, very, very therapeutic. But it differs in its particulars because in therapy it's a little different because you guys know I'm not a pastor, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a minister, I'm a therapist. However, even when individuals come to me for therapy, part of that is repenting and letting that stuff go. Now, I'm looking at something that talks about 2 Corinthians 7:10, and it reads, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrows bring death. So will you guys please explain to me what they mean by that? Anybody? Everybody? Pastor Blackwood? Minister Mike? Okay, Mike.
Read that again, please.
Oh, Delano dropped. It says in 2 Corinthians 7:10, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. What do they mean by that?
Well, one is spiritual. Okay, because I didn't hear the first part. But yeah, one to me, one is spiritual, and one is in the flesh. Flesh cannot be regenerated. Flesh has no profit. Flesh will pass away, like the book of James talks about. You know, our lives are like grass that fades away. And when you talk about the spiritual aspect of who we are spiritual beings. That's what we are. You know, we're made in God's image. And the spirit
and
should be ruling and reigning over our flesh, you know?
And you know, Pastor Mike, or Minister Mike, it's interesting because we start talking about repentance and gaining an understanding of what is real repentance. Because, like I said, we hear God, you guys talk about John the Baptist, but we have to not only when we repent, we have to repent and we have to believe. Because if you just repent and you just using words, but you don't believe it, then that could be a problem. Because even though repentance can seem mysteriously and sometimes contradictory to the gospel, but it doesn't mean that you have to do that. It says you don't have to do anything to be saved. But they talk about repentance, a work or something that they can do to be saved. What does repentance, what does it mean when we talk about I want to be saved, so I have to repent? Tell me what that means.
Well, the pastor said it earlier, when you repent, you what? You're changing directions of the course of your life.
Correct.
And it's kind of like this. Okay, Jeanette, I love you. I love you. But when I see you next time, I punch you in your eye, I steal your money, I take your car. Love undemonstrated means nothing. Mm-hmm. Repentance without action means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the manifestation of the words that come up out of your mouth. You know, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. We understand the words that come out of our mouth, we are held accountable for every word that comes out of our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're saying, God, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it anymore, that is our whole intention. Will we fail again? Maybe so. But
mm-hmm.
it's our attitude. It's what mm-hmm. we're looking forward to. You know what I'm saying?
Correct. And even with the attitude, and I like how Backwell was talking about when he's talking about turning away, and they also, when we talk about going back, the thing is, when even with that conviction of guilt before God and the awareness that we stand in the need of cleansing, meaning that's our way of, when we talk about being saved, is cleansing ourselves by repenting to some of the things that we've done, by letting those things go. And even though they indicate that this isn't something we do, but it is something that God works in us. And in regards to Acts 5:31 and 11-18, like faith, it is necessary, but given to us, but not worked by us. Rather, God works in us as in an awkward acknowledgement of guilt, which causes us to shrink away from our dirtiness before his perfect and holy character. So a lot of times when we start saying that I'm not sick, and I was hearing what you were saying about, you know, being sharp and all of that, sometimes we also have to repent for some of the things that we say about us. Because you are sharp. You are. But when we say that, sometimes we got to be careful with the words that we use, because there's words that we've heard other people say about us.
But you know what I say, not being the sharpest knife in the drawer, you know, scripture tells us that all I did is get understanding. And I keep going until mm-hmm. I get the clear, concise understanding of what the scripture is saying. But one thing you said, we need to cleanse ourselves. No, it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. There's nothing we can do to cleanse us from the sin and from unrighteousness. It is the
mm-hmm.
confession. It is the shed blood
mm-hmm.
that was on the cross that cleanses us. And,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that I see that mankind has is we feel like we need to have something to do in order
mm-hmm.
to take part in. It is a gift. And
correct.
One of the things about receiving gifts, probably, see, I'm 64 years old right now, so about maybe up until 20 years ago, I had a problem receiving things from people, that I love to be a giver. And so receiving the gift, a lot of people have a hard time receiving the gift because they don't think they deserve it.
Mm-hmm, you're right. And you know what, Mike, that's something that I find with repentance. A lot of times people feel that they deserve what they get. And we did a show a couple of weeks ago, and I was sharing with individuals that people in jail that have committed hideous crimes will forgive themselves faster than the person walking on down the street. And when you talked about the gift is actually a free gift. Even in Luke 24:47 and Acts 20:21, God does not leave us to despair of our brokenness, but immediately offers us the comfort and consolation of forgiveness and love, so that when we cry out to God in faith, he willingly forgives us and saves us. And that's in Romans 10:13. So repentance then
mm-hmm.
is the posture that leads us to prayer. So therefore, sometimes we got to pray, we got to keep praying. And let's talk a little bit about the fruit of repentance. Because when we talk about the fruit of repentance, repentance bears the fruit of some things. One of the confession we talk about, because we confess our sins to God, we ask for forgiveness, and we pursue godliness in keeping with this new life Christ gives us. And that's when we start changing. And I heard people say, I don't want to go back. You know, I want to live right. I want to do right. Let's talk about that a little bit in regards to the fruit of repentance.
Well, we know that the fruit is the end result or manifestation of the seed that has been planted, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When you plant a seed, let's say I plant an apple seed in the ground. If I get a watermelon, something wrong, isn't it? Is it? I mean, it's a freak of nature. Something ain't right. So we planted seeds of repentance, and the manifestation of that fruit, it should be apparent to all. Shouldn't it? I mean, I could sit up here and say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to watch porn on no more. And I'm not going to drink anymore. But then 12 hours later, I'm sitting up there in front of a computer with a beer in my hand looking at porno again. You know, when Apostle Paul made a statement, in my weakness, that's where I find my strength. All of us know the weaknesses that we have. What keeps us strong is staying away from those weaknesses. I know there are certain places that I cannot go. I know there are certain people that I cannot hang around. I know that about myself. That's what keeps me strong, staying away from the weak points.
Blackwell is back on the line with this, but I want to share something that I'm looking at. And I like this, how it talks about repentance heals pride. Because we start talking about pride. Pride and guilt, man, let's talk about pride a little bit. How when you repent, it heals that pride. Because that's something else a lot of people hold on to. Blackwell, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Say that again.
How repentance heals pride.
Oh, man. That's the first thing that you lose when you repent. Pride. That's the first thing that has to drop. You have to come to the agreement that, hey, you know what? I got to give this thing to God and God alone. And you know what? Whatever I did, Lord, I'm sorry. And the pride will walk right out of your mind and right out of your heart.
And, you know, Pastor Blackwell, that's a lot of things that people hold on to is that pride, because they think that they need that pride and they don't realize that. Because the more we learn God's laws, the more, like Tony was saying, we would get into our Bible and our standards, the more we come to know we cannot stand before God on anything in our own doing, so we more actually realize our own lawlessness and humility. Now, repentance should be practiced regularly, which is why it occurs in many churches, and that's why pastors are preaching about repentance. And it's not that they want to hear, I'm not going to say they want to hear all your mess that going on, but they want you to let that go. Repent. You know, like I said, I used to hear it so much, I used to be like, dang, why we got to do all of that? But there is a reason why, because it also is the key to powerful living. When you're not holding on to that and you've letting a lot of that stuff go, it is awesome. So let's talk a little bit about the key to powerful living. When we talk about how it changes individual lives, because it can change the mind of how you live. Like I heard Mike say, you don't go where some of the places he know he used to go or don't want to be, can't be around certain people. When you let some of the things go, can we elaborate that on a little bit? Just to let the listeners know, to get them some more insight.
What exactly do you mean?
When you were seeing how you know that there's certain places you can't go, you know certain people you cannot be around, how have you repented?
Yeah.
And you know, I can't go back to that. A lot of individuals, well, whether we are believers or non-believers, we try to dibble-dab. We don't want nobody to think differently of us, and we know we're in the world but not of the world. But how can we, as we're talking about, or talking in regards to this topic, to give individuals a clear understanding, what do we mean by that? Because some of the people say, well, you a holy roller, or who do you think you are? No, I just can't do that no more. I'm not interested in that anymore because I'm living a life of Christ. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Well, I'm kind of up against the clock. I'm going to have to go. But one thing I can say is that we as believers should not walk in judgment of anybody. And that's where a lot of us have a lot of problems. They used to have a saying, don't get to be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. But one of the things, which you made a statement about ongoing repentance, do you remember in the therapeutic setting, I would always tell the client, before you go to bed at night, do an inventory and do a checklist. And I still do that today. Was I kind?
Mm-hmm.
Did I help somebody? Did I lose my temper? Whatever that thing is, whatever you maybe a stronghold is, you go by that inventory every day and, okay, Lord, this is where I came up short. I need your help. And one of the things I understand about our Heavenly Father is he is a gentleman. He will not come and invade a situation in your life that you don't invite him into because we have free will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm asking, but I really enjoyed this, and I'll try and call in a little bit more, but I know you've been on me a little bit, and I'll try and clear some time.
No problem, and it looks like I just lost Blackwell, so it looks like I'm going to be on here by myself for a minute. Now, I want to give them listeners some information as we talk about in regards to how to change the mind, and that you can, when you change your mind, you can change your life. And I know that we have both Pastor Delano Blackwell and we have Minister Michael Johnson that was both on the air, and both of them are ministers, and they basically preach the gospel, and they are very well acclimated in what they do and believe in what they do. And I view things and I see things from a therapeutic perspective, and part of that is getting individuals to think, getting individuals to teaching them skills, tools, practice, how to let some things go in their lives. Now, I'm getting this information, and it's basically, like I said earlier, it's the keys to powerful living, and talks about repentance. And it says, if you have ever changed your mind about anything, then you understand the basis of one of the most important spiritual principles in the Bible, which is repentance. Not only is it a spiritual principle in the Bible, it's also the most positive word in the Christian vocabulary. And it is part of God's plan, whether we realize it or not. You know, both individuals have spoke about what is repentance to give you a clear understanding. And repentance implies a change in direction, a 180-degree course in regards to correction of our relationship with God. Because that's what we're doing, is building a kingdom and strengthening our relationship with God. It begins with the decision to turn from sin and surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's just not to preach the Bible or put things down people's throats, but even when we talk about our parents, you know, but now we're talking about our Heavenly Father. It is necessary for anyone desiring to draw near to the Lord and walk with him every day. And this is because every person is born with a sinful nature, no matter what. When we come up with this topic, at first I thought that my brother Blackwell wanted me to do this because he knew I was in Vegas. But, you know, because they say Vegas is the place of sin and all that other stuff. But even though I was there, but I did have fun. But because everyone is born with a sinful nature that finds expression of sinful action, the sin creates this thing between you and sometimes God that man can be bridged by our human efforts. Now, even in Romans 3:23 and 6:23, they talk about that. But our sin, however, is not the end of the story. In fact, God works through everything that happens in our lives, including our sins, to draw us to Jesus. Now, I'm looking at some information, and that's one of the things we talk about repentance, is individuals say, I want to live like Christ, I want to be like Christ. But even with John 6, I was talking about John 6, 44, 45, for no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me, and at the last day, I would raise them up. As written in the scripture, they will be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. So therefore, when we talk about these things, if you get back and start reading your word, it can help you gain a better understanding. Because even with Romans 8:28-29, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his sons, so that his sons would be the firstborn amongst many brothers and sisters. So don't feel bad when you're going and you asking God to, or you asking, are you repenting? Because this is what the Bible calls being born again of the Spirit of God. Now, when we enter into the born again experience by repenting of our sins, yielding our lives to Jesus as Savior and Lord, and trusting in faith that he will forgive and cleanse us of all sins. Because again, trust. I don't want to keep going back and saying, Lord, forgive me, or I won't do this again, knowing I'm going to do it again. You have to trust. Now, when we talked a little bit about this relationship and that daily walk, repentance is also the key to growing daily in your relationship with Christ. So in order for you to grow, you have to confess, you got to talk, you got to communicate. Because when we do that, that is because Christ's life is a life of being a Christian. It's like that Christian life is a journey. We are not perfect. And it is not going to happen just overnight. So it's not like oatmeal where you can just get this instant fix. It is for the rest of your life. You will be content with the sinful and the flesh, selfish tendencies of your flesh. And Minister Mike talked about that a lot. Now, the only way to overcome this ongoing struggle with the sin is through repentance. So, therefore, we have to learn how to repent. Some attitudes and actions are obliviously sinful, but the Bible calls these the work of the flesh. Now, we've done topics about sins. We've talked about the flesh. We talked about the devil and blaming everything on the devil. But when we talk about the works of the flesh, they include immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, etc. Such works of the flesh, if not repented of, can result in spiritual death. And a lot of times when we talk about spiritual death and we talk about individuals died spiritually, some will say, well, what do that mean? In Galatians 5:19-21, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, which is what we talked about, all of these different things, even the drunkenness, wild parties, and other sin-like. Then let me tell you again, individuals have said it, but they indicate that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And like I said, I thought that was why my brother wanted me to talk about this, because I was in Vegas. But in James 1:15, these desires give birth to sinful action, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death, and that is spiritual death. Now, it looks like Blackwell is back on the air, and I am glad, so I can stop talking about this. Blackwell, are you here?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So I was talking a little bit about the spiritual death, and sometimes when we don't repent and we're holding on to these things and talking about the works of the flesh and why we go and we repent. But you know, Pastor Blackwell, one of the things I want to talk about, and not just some of those sins, but these are some things that individuals don't even realize, because when we start talking about anything that is not faith-filled responses to our circumstances and relationship to sin, a lot of individuals don't realize, and here I come in as a therapist, but anxiety, worrying, fear, bitterness, depression, pride, resentment, and anger all have their root in sin. A lot of people don't even realize that. But anything that takes the place of trusting in the Lord can get us in trouble, because we have to trust God. Pastor Blackwell, can you give us some insight or in regards to finding the faith to repent? Can we talk about that a little bit?
That word again, what faith?
Finding faith to repent. Because many individuals are still struggling with some of those things.
Well, we're going to always struggle until we die. That's the key. The key to it is understanding how to struggle. And when I say what I mean by how to struggle, in this life, you're always going to be faced with some type of tribulation or some type of trial or with some type of things. But you got to know after 20 years, I'll go back. When we were in our teens, Jeanette, we knew how to act to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
But what we don't act the same way at 20, at 50.
Correct.
We didn't act the same way at 50, at 30. And the reason being is because we learned some things on how to act, how to hold on. You don't stay, you know, one of the things, first things we learned when we were kids was stay out of the mud puddle. It would rain. And the first thing they tell you do is don't step in the puddle.
Mm-hmm.
Don't step in the puddle. And it's the same way of life today. When we know that that thing is away from God and out of the will of God, all he says is don't step in the puddle. But here's the problem. Because of who we are and the way we are, we know how much of a kid we like getting in the puddle. We like the water splashing. We like to see the water splash. We like to see sometimes it splash on people. And we get messed up. And you know, that puddle has a major reaction. Not only will it mess us up, but it'll mess some other people up too if you step in the puddle hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way sin is. Sin has a way of messing us up, and that's when repentance comes in. But we have to find the way to stay out of the puddle, because we ought not be acting the same way at 20, at 50, at 50, when we were like at 10 years old. And the way we find faith in that is by knowing how God is able to change things. Now, life will show you how to have faith. Not only will life show you, but you're going to change some things in your life.
What's your EBT code?
You know? It's going to change you. So.
And you know, Pastor Blackwell, as I said, a lot of times we start talking about taking to the altar, finding faith, believing. Because if you've been struggling with certain things and it seems difficult, consider what the Bible says. The kindness of God leads you to repent. Just the kindness, knowing that God is a forgiving God. And even in Romans 2:4, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see in his kindness is intended for you to turn from your sins? A lot of times we hold on to things because we're scared. That fear. We don't want nobody to know. But it ain't like don't nobody know. People know. They may not just want to call you out on it, but it ain't like you hide from nobody. So, and when we start talking about that and just even talking about letting some of these things go and not only repenting, Pastor Blackwell, prayer, as you pray. Let's talk about that a little bit when we're talking about that with as we pray, and we're praying as we repent.
Well, here's the thing. One of the things, what drives you? The question, you know what, we really need to get to something that's going to really humble us. What drives us to repent? And that's the key to it. What drives you to repent? And that's something to really think about, because what makes us want to repent? Is it because our heart is hardened? Because we feel sad? What? Well, there's a thing on the inside of us called a conscience.
Mm-hmm.
Our conscience normally wars against our man's spirit, and it says, you know what? What you did wasn't right.
Mm-hmm. What you did wasn't right. You need to get it right. Well, wait a minute. Who I'm getting this right with? I ain't got a. And 90% of the time, people say, I don't have to get it right with nobody. I'm my mm-hmm. own person. I'm my own man. And then your conscience kicks again in. You need to get it right. You mm-hmm. need to get it right with that person. And then your mind will say, wait a minute, I don't want to get it right with that person. What I need to get it right with mm-hmm. them? Well, I don't even like them. And then the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. will kick in and say, no, not only do you need to get it right with them, you need to get it right with me.
Mm-hmm.
So what leads us to the altar to pray is those steps right there. The conscience speaks mm-hmm. to me. You got a one-on-one with your conscience, because if you notice something, we won't repent as long as we are at war with our conscience.
Correct.
Right. The hell with them. Come on now. You know I'm telling the truth. And so what they did to me, after what they did to me, forget that.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going to mm-hmm. never forgive them. What they did, man, please, man, please.
Jelena, you have no idea how many times I've heard that. They don't deserve my forgiveness. How you go to the bed? That's when you know you just being ugly. You need to go repent. You need to go somewhere with that. How you go judge what somebody deserves? And a lot of people do that. And like I said, and just holding on to that. We have to be very careful with that.
Well, that's what won't lead. That's what won't lead us to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part where we won't pray. And that's the
mm-hmm.
reason why we should pray.
Correct.
Now a Christian will pray about it. Who's in
mm-hmm.
the will of God. Who's practicing prayer. Because you know
mm-hmm.
what? Some of us will pray before we repent. And what I mean by that, Lord,
mm-hmm.
you got to help me. Now, that don't sound like very much, but that's
mm-hmm.
a whole lot when you had the attitude of Jeanette Brooks.
You know what?
That's a whole lot. That's a whole lot. That's a whole lot. I mean, because some people really don't understand the power of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because repentance, in order to repent, you got to come to God with a willing heart to say, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to go to that person
mm-hmm.
and get it right, no matter who fault it is. Now, watch this, no matter who fault it is, because 90% of the time, why should I forgive her? She said it to me first.
Mm-hmm. You know what I find? Yes. You know what I find is very interesting when you said that? I don't know what it is, but for some reason, a lot of my friends that know me refuse to call me anything other than Jeanette Brooks. I don't care. They be like, I don't know no Abby. You Jeanette Brooks. You Jeanette Brooks. That's why when you said that, I just had to laugh. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. So, we got to remember, take some steps. We know what the Bible says. But
mm-hmm.
so many of us ain't reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But we will listen to our conscience. And our conscience will say, do ABZ, ABDZ. And guess
mm-hmm.
what? If you do that, everything's all right. And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. I definitely hear you. And that is definitely a problem. Definitely a problem. And I always say, when we know better, we do better. Now, Blackwell, what can you give the listeners to encourage them to repent? What do you want to let them know in regards to that?
Mm. Well, if I was at church, I say I'm about to bless you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you that there's power in repentance.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the power of repentance is the power of reversal.
Mm-hmm.
What used to hold on to me doesn't have me anymore. I got, instead of it having me, I have it. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, clap your
wow.
hands.
You missed that.
What used to have me, now I have it.
Mm-hmm.
What used to master me, now I master it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the power of repentance. When you repent, guess what? You are free. You are free and under the shackles of it. And guess what? And it does not have you. You
mm-hmm.
have it. Yeah.
And that right there makes a big difference.
And guess what? You can sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
You can sleep at night. You can drink and not even have to worry about drinking alcohol. You can get some tea. You ain't got to have no what's the name of that tea, boy? What's the name of that tea, oh?
Chamomile tea.
No, the other tea. Not chamomile, but No. Yeah, Long Island iced tea. Ain't
oh, no,
talking
you
about
know what? You wrong for that one.
Yeah.
Long Island iced tea. Wow.
Huh?
You know, Pastor Blackwell, and part of that is, you know, giving individuals the benefits of repentance, because a lot of times people say, well, why should I have to do that? Why do I have to let it go? Because there are some benefits. Let's share a little bit about the benefits of repentance and what you get out of it.
Can you repeat that? This card.
The benefits of repentance.
Well, the benefits of repentance is being free.
Mm-hmm.
Is being free. You know, watch this. When you have the benefit of repentance, not only from God, but from man. You don't hold your head down in certain situations. You don't walk around scared, you know. You don't walk around scared, or you don't walk around with your lip poked out. I wish that would say something to me. I tell it. See, and it frees you from all of that.
Uh-huh.
When you have repented, it frees you, because guess what? When you really,
mm-hmm.
you know what, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry. You're free from all that.
Mm-hmm. You know, Pastor Blackwell, and I think that this is powerful that the listeners should gravitate from, because the first one you said is freedom from your sin, removal of all guilt, regret begin to disappear, meaning you don't even regret it anymore. It cleans your consciousness. I'm going to give you sovereign clarity about your past, and I think that's what we do a lot.
Give me that burger.
It resolves personal conflict.
Still talking.
It matures your relationship.
Yeah.
It gives you a second chance to do better, and it provides a Christ-like future, meaning I can now do things better because I repent. And I've forgiven myself. God forgive me. I'm not even worried about that no more. You know, I'm going to post this on my Facebook page that I just found, because
mm-hmm.
that is right there. It gives you the benefit of why I should do this. And that's worth it. Because if you're not carrying it, like Mike was talking about, some baggages, and carrying that luggage around anymore.
I'm sorry. I was calling.
Tell him I said he knew I need to give him a call.
mm-hmm.
So again, we talked about some things. Ask Oliver anything he want to share. And
he can't
talk
hear
about
you.
Okay.
He just in the front seat.
Oh, okay.
I'm on the back.
Yes,
oh. What you need, though?
All right.
That's a first. So, look.
Now,
Go ahead, Jeanette.
What was you going to say, Pastor Blackwell?
Go ahead. I thought you had a question.
No, I was basically, when we were talking about the benefits, and I was trying to share, I wanted to share some of the things, and I did put it out there of how, and people say, well, why should I do this? Why should I not hold on to this? And because this is such an awkward topic, and it's very difficult for people to talk about, and sometimes individuals think that these things should come natural, and we talked about the spiritual death part of it. And the Bible is not shy when it comes to talking about repentance. So, Pastor Blackwell, if the Bible is not shy, why should we be shy about it?
Well, because, you know, we shy because of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Sin makes you want to hide, run and hide.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. Sin,
mm-hmm.
Sin makes you want to hide.
Yeah, but when we talk about that, if we know that all have sinned and fallen short, but we know and we've heard that repentance is good, may not be easy. And I know you guys talked about Paul, and you know, but when we talking about he had mixed feelings about his letter, and on one hand he had regret for the grief it caused, but on the other hand he did not have regret for the repentance it produced. But while at times it can be painful to repent, it has a purpose. There are benefits. Just as Cain did not enjoy the discipline of children, we know that Paul did not enjoy the sorrow he brought to the church. He did not like seeing things the way. I'm going to put you on mute for a minute, Black, because we hear about your burrito. You're about to make me hungry. You know, Paul did not, just like he didn't like rejoicing. And like parents do when they see children experiencing pain. But repentance is good because God uses the short-lived sorrow to protect you from greater sorrow and greater harm in the future. And that's also in Hebrews 12, 7 through 11. Because if we did not repent, or if they didn't repent, the church would not have been shattered by its sins and the shortage of Christ's likeness. So I'm going to add Pastor Blackwell back on this because we are approaching almost the end of the show. Pastor, I said something, and I was talking about how repentance is good because God uses the short-lived sorrow to protect us from the greater sorrow and the greater harm of the future, because they talked about how that if the church, basically, that it would not have been shattered by its sins and the shortage of Christ-likeness. And repentance is the funnel through which blessings flow, and lack of repentance brings misery, despair, and we also talked about spiritual death. You know, we can't keep stubborn, we can't keep talking about what we don't want to do. So, Pastor, can you speak on that? Because there is, when we're talking about first, I want to talk about the three common components of repentance. First, there's the recognition of sin. You must recognize this is sin, and you must see that it has offended God, because when you know you offended God, that's when you know we need to repent. Because repentance is not simply regret or remorse or feeling bad about something bad you did, because you can feel sorry about anything and immediately do it again, which is what we talked about. But we also have to remember, secondly, there is repentance for sin, meaning you have to first admit that you were wrong and that you've been wrong. Then it is often the hardest thing to do, but repentance is not mere confession or saying what God says about sin. If that is basically what's going to make you happy, repentance is about keeping God happy. And thirdly, there is a returning to the Lord. You must leave sin behind, and you must come to God, and you must make a clean break. So I'm going to have Blackwell end the show. Hopefully it ain't a lot of noise. So, Pastor Blackwell, I'm going to let you end the show. As we are ending it today, we have a few seconds left. So what do you want to leave the listeners with as we talked about repentance?
remember, repentance is to turn away. That's simple. That's simpler than it can be. To turn away. Hello?
Mm-hmm. We're still here.
I said repentance only means to turn away. To turn away from, mm-hmm. And today is a good day to learn how to repent. If you've been walking in darkness, walking in the darkness of life, feeling like you can't make it through, I want to tell you, maybe if you change your direction, maybe if you change your way, maybe if you know you've been walking away from Christ, it might be a good time to walk towards Christ. And maybe if you came to the agreement in your heart, say, today, I'm going to live for you. How do I repent? By accepting Jesus Christ in their heart. I'm going to press
mm-hmm.
Jesus because I'm a preacher. And the first thing I'm going to tell you to do is confess with your heart. I mean, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the grave. Thou shalt be saved. That's spiritual
mm-hmm.
repentance. Some of you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you may feel like you don't need spiritual repentance. Well, maybe you are in the grim hold of Satan's evil snare, believing that God won't forgive you, or your friends or your loved ones won't forgive you. God
mm-hmm.
knows how to make things right in the family again.
Mm-hmm.
If you give it to God, God can work it out. Sometimes you don't have
yes,
to say it works.
That is true. But they say, won't he do it? Well, Pastor Blackwell, I want to thank you for joining me today, along with Minister Michael Johnson. And until next week, we don't know what the topic is going to be for next week. But again, remember,
praise God.
You got this. And you can always repent, and God is a forgiving God, and he has not forgotten about you. You do not have to stay in sin if you have sin. So until next week, I want you to have a blessed week. And remember to join us back here at Precious Ridiculous Blog Talk Radio on Mondays at 12 p.m. from 12 to 1, and Tuesdays from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 a.m. Thank you very much. Thank you, Blackwell. Have a good night.
Thank you.